20. A very familiar passage, which is also called the Great Commission. Jesus speaking to the disciples and the early church and to us, what is the most important thing for the church to do? The Great Commission, which I also would call the first commandment to the church, because it is most important. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The title of my message this morning is God's Principles for Church Growth. God's Principles for Church Growth. And we have been having a series all on extending the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we're going to find out what this passage says to us. The principles of God for church growth are found both in the gospels and in the Acts of the Apostles. Insofar as the gospel is concerned, in its outreach, it has been read already from what is known as the Great Commission. It is declared also in the Acts. But in the Acts, we will also find the pattern set for us by the Apostles, because the Acts of the Apostles is not only sacred church history, but it's a record also of whatever the Apostles did is our pattern for us to follow. Even as Paul has declared to the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, as also I am with Christ. So in other parts of the epistles, at several points, Paul declares that you have nothing to do with those who do not follow our traditions, but they teach another gospel. The traditions, the examples are set by the apostle for us as a pattern. Now, let us come to this Great Commission, which has 4 points. The first point is, go ye therefore. The word go introduces us to another word, and that is gospel. Take note that gospel is spelled with go. Go with the gospel. The first point is the mission's emphasis. Missions means to go with the gospel. And if a church will not go with the gospel but stay behind, sitting comfortably week after week and do nothing for the Lord, we surely are not following the commandment of the Lord. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. Second point. The word teach here and the word at the last of the verse, teaching them to observe, are two different words in Greek. And this teach all nations means to evangelize. You go on a missions for what? To save souls, to bring them into the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Not like some missionaries nowadays with camera and video and so forth will take the pictures. But are they sincerely going forth to the gospel or just merely showing it to the home church and therefore to get their support? We must sincerely go forward and evangelize. Just as this church, whatever we are preaching here, Sunday after Sunday, is to convert souls, to bring them into the kingdom. Just the same as a mission going forward. The third point is baptizing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We have the first mission emphasis, second the evangelism emphasis, and now baptizing them is a church planting emphasis. Because there are many para church organizations and they preach the gospel, yes, but they don't baptize, which is a part of a full gospel church. For example, the Salvation Army does not baptize at all. And they neither have the Holy Communion. Baptizing and having the Lord's Supper, these together make up the constitution of the church. By baptizing, we are organizing them into a local church. This is a church planting emphasis. And finally, teach them. This Greek word here, teach, is instruction. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is the indoctrination emphasis. Such as the Sunday school is a very important part of the church to further instruct young members, adults, even old members in the truth of the faith. And on a higher level is to establish Bible colleges. And that is the utmost and most effective for the propagation of the gospel, because when we indoctrinate and teach them on a higher level, they will be able to go forward and preach also and establish churches. It is like geometric progression. When we have those who are trained and they are able to do the work of an evangelist and a pastor. Therefore, these four points of the Great Commission are a program of horizontal growth to spread the gospel to all nations as far as possible. It is a horizontal emphasis. Therefore, it is not the same with certain churches that they build themselves up, that they have the vertical emphasis to make and build mammoth churches. And there is one that is being copied around the world. This church is in Korea. And the pastor thereof is called Cho Yong-gi, who visited Singapore quite some years ago and held a campaign here. Who is Cho Yong-gi? He is a Korean pastor who has made a name for himself for having the biggest congregation in the world. How many? 500,000. That is 1/6 of the population of Singapore, insofar as Singaporeans are concerned. And he has 100 pastors under him, this super pastor. And he builds the biggest church that can contain over 10,000 worshippers. That is a vertical emphasis. But now we look into the Acts of the Apostles to find whether the apostles have done what he has done, build up one big church with him at the supreme command. The best is to come to Peter. Peter is more effective than Cho Yong Gi by far, because in one day he baptized 3,000. In one day, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through Holy Spirit revival, he brought 3,000 to tears. On another occasion, it is stated in the Acts that 5,000 were saved. Did Peter build a super church, the vertical emphasis to contain his thousands of believers, and then stay there and preach to them Sunday by Sunday? Of course he did in the very beginning with all the converts, and they all lived in Jerusalem, and they had makan food together every meal, and the apostles had a hard time to take care of them. This is sort of a Christian communism. And the words of the Bible are copied by the communists today from each according to their ability, to each according to his need. But this happened lovingly. It was a work of the Holy Spirit that they, having found the way of salvation, so happily lived together and had communion and fellowship together and learning of the scriptures. But that is not intention of the Lord. The people naturally gathered like this because soon God sent a persecution and the disciples are all scattered. We know that this is an expression of the people themselves when they're all things in common. But it is not God's plan for them to live together for long like this. For example, we have a congregation of 1,700, and if we all concentrate to live around this church and in this church, build a house and everywhere, and all eat together, that is not a simple business. To feed 100 FABC students per day is a very hard job, to say in the least. But to have 1,000-odd people eating together. So that's why the Lord sent a persecution, and the disciples went everywhere, scattered. But they, being scattered, were the seed of the gospel to spread the word. And soon the apostles also followed. They were also persecuted. They were put in the prison. So there was no super church built in Jerusalem. And we find that many gospel doors were open. People are asking for the preaching of the truth. So Philip was the first one to go to Samaria, followed by Peter and John. And then Philip was called away to go down south, and he preached to the Ethiopian eunuch at Gaza. And from there he spread to Caesarea, and he stayed there and founded a church. And he had four daughters who were also evangelists, prophetesses, who worked along together with him on the coast. It spread to the coast. Then Peter was involved. And he was called to Joppa, to Lydda, and to Caesarea, where Cornelius, the Italian centurion, heard the word through him. And then we find from the epistle of Peter, first epistle, the places he visited in Asia Minor, to Galatia, to Asia, to Bithynia, to Cappadocia, to Pontus. All these places are listed to show that he had preached in the whole of Asia Minor. Then Peter appears in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he is named by his Aramaic name Cephas. That is another name of Peter. And we find him in Corinth. And then it mentions in 1 Peter, the last chapter, the church in Babylon also greets you. Did he actually go to Babylon? Some people say yes. Some people say no. Babylon here is a cryptic name. A name to mention some city that is like Babylon. And then, of course, by tradition, he went to Rome. And the famous story about Peter is that he was crucified upside down in Rome. So here is the pattern of the apostle. He did not make himself a super pastor in Jerusalem, build a big church. Our church is already quite big, but it's still a small church in comparison with many. They can sit 3,000 or 4,000 and so forth. But I think to get too big is not good, because members do not know one another. But if it's a church of 100 people, they all know one another. Here is so big. Nevertheless, the pattern of the apostles are set for us, not only by Peter, but also by Paul, and by all the rest of the apostles. None of them stuck in Jerusalem, but they went out into all the world. And Thomas went to India. When I became pastor, the four walls of the church could not contain me. And the first thing that spoke to my soul was that we must obey the Great Commission. And so in the fourth year, or only 3.5 years after the founding of Life Church, the Lord led us to found our first branch church in Malaysia called Kelapa Sawit. And Kelapa Sawit is going to have the 49th anniversary in April, and they want me to go because I have been moderator of that church till now. A picture of going out. I believe every pastor is also a missionary. I believe that as the Great Commission is also called the first commandment of the church, the pastor must go forth with the gospel. And he must go often, not just once in a long while. He must not only preach in his Jerusalem, but he must preach to all Judea and even Samaria and even unto the ends of the earth. I want to thank you for supporting me all these years. For example, I have been to India for 9 times, and on one occasion was there for 2 months. All over India, they wanted me to preach. And I was very happy to be given the opportunity. Therefore, God has greatly blessed us who are involved in missions, which is the first emphasis. Put the go in the gospel. Go, go, go. It's a very important word. Therefore, He has blessed our church with over one branch church every year. The last time we counted was 56 churches before we are 50 years. The Lord is well pleased. When you go out, He will bless you at home. But there is a church in America whose pastor is my good friend, and he very sadly emailed me, "I have left this church." Why? This pastor is full of zeal, and he went to the Philippines, and when I was in the Philippines with then Ebert III, he met me and he sat in my class. He said, "I'm also your student." And so, imbued the zeal to go to the Philippines, he went there another two or three times. But when he joined this new church, and he applied to go to the Philippines on missions, the church said, "No, we employ you, you have to work here. And if you want to go on missions, you can take your annual leave of 2 weeks and go on your own, at your own expense." Well, the result is that they lost the pastor. And he is a good pastor. To inhibit him, to contain him, if he is genuinely being called to missions, and he has a burden for a certain country, I believe it is our duty to support him and also to pay for his passage. When a church is willing to do this, to be willing to sacrifice, to give out and not to retain, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Lord will then bless the church and bless the members who are interested and who have many times secretly given for the extension of the gospel. Now there is another church, but this is in Singapore, and I have been observing their movements. This church is almost 160 years old, and it still remains one church. It has not grown. And there are many churches like this. They stay there. The pastor's job is merely to defend his flock and to see that his sheep don't go away to some other field. No, but if we have the word to preach, to satisfy the hunger, the thirst of hearers, the church will grow and the church will also support the commandments that the Lord has given us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature is another sentence of the Great Commission or the first commandment of the church. And those churches that will obey this command will be blessed. I want to thank you, members of this church, for so liberally supporting great needs, particularly in Cambodia, where they reach out truly to hundreds and hundreds, and our own young people have gone. The year that we spent most for Cambodia cost us $421,000. And I did not know that it would go up to so much. Well, because of a new build house building fund, I have not curtailed, but they asked for more and more money. I said, well, our estimates have been overrated for you already. But we still keep on giving them the same as from the very beginning. And many offerings have come in secretly, anonymously. For example, for Jonathan Lee, who is at the very forefront of suffering. And he is able now to build a church in the persecuting village. And you are giving to the cause. I feel that this is very laudable. My final point is that Jesus in the sermon at Mount of Olives, Matthew 24, on his second coming. After giving all the signs, he gave a last sign, Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. Jesus states that one of the signs of his coming is accelerated missions and not curtailing of missions. And so one nation has set the example for us in accelerating missions is Korea. And I asked Dr. Moon, who is an assistant pastor of this church, and he is very well up in his information. He told me, we have now 8,000 Korean missionaries in 120 nations of the world. That is a tremendous effort. Singapore has been declared the Antioch of Southeast Asia by Western missionaries, because Singapore is also quite well up in missions, and many churches are also sending out missionaries. In our case, we have sent them to 9 ASEAN countries, to Saipan, to China, to the Holy Land, and the latest is to Kenya. This is also a sign of accelerating missions. And when we have a recent applicant of a sister nurse who feels called to Kenya, at first I was a little bit inhibited because another sizable expenditure. And we have a new build house. But the Lord rebuked me. If you serve me first, I will surely send the funds to you. We cannot, because of our own local needs, curtail. And wonderfully, the AF supports with $1,000 per quarter. The missionary fellowship, missions fellowship, supports also with $1,000 every quarter. In other words, they will support this young lady to Kenya, $8,000 a year. But the total cost, of course, will be much more, because we've got to pay on travel expenses and many incidentals, and of course her full salary. Accelerated missions. We are living in the very last days, last of the last. But this is an age of deception. And they make you feel very good, especially Singapore. You just go to Indonesia, you know what it is. The people are so poor because of the reduction of the rupiah. And that's why there are rioting and so forth, because the people have not enough to eat. But Singaporeans, the statistics of the government say that we have received much more during the last 10 years. The salary always goes up and up. And we think that we are living in Alice in Wonderland. This is a very peaceful place. But you do not know that already the signs in the Middle East, in the Holy Land, of electing somebody who says Jerusalem only belongs to us, and this will mean war. And Revelation chapter 9 and chapter 16 tells us that when the Third World War breaks out, I don't say the Third World War will be the end, but Dr. Walford, president of the Dallas Theological Seminary, he says in his book, and it will converge in the Middle East, in the Euphrates Valley, which is Iraq. So things are drawing to a close, getting nearer and nearer to that day when explosion will come. And Saddam Hussein, the Chinese paper calls him Satan, with Satan. He will be the one, very probably, to bring in trouble again. Because he must know that he is still a very young man. He was born in 1937. He is at present 63 or 64 years old. And by comparison, he can almost be my son. He is still a young man. And he is bent on revenge. And prophetically, the Bible tells us that it will erupt in the Euphrates Valley and then lead on to Armageddon, which is a place in Israel between Haifa and Galilee, a plain where all the troops will go through to attack Jerusalem. And Jerusalem will be in the bloodbath where two-thirds of her people will die. And that's a very heavy casualty. These things are happening, drawing us closer to closer. I cannot say that it will happen in so many years, but it is good for us to be alerted and to be busy, occupying till Jesus comes and He will ask us on that day, what did you do for me? You live a luxurious life, you spend the money on yourself and you hope, and when you die, they are not able to do anything and lost. There was a nurse some time ago, and she knew that she was going to die. So she did everything to Zion Church. And when she died, not very much, of course, all her possessions went to the church. She was a very wise woman. Well, what is the Great Commission but the first commandment of the church? And what is it recorded that we should go? It is given in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Many people miss out verse 18 and the quote 19 and say, go ye therefore and teach all nations. But all power in heaven is given of me, in heaven and earth is given in verse 18. And we believe in the power of God to accomplish His purpose. We believe in the presence of God where Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When we go out and obey His command, we not only receive His power, but also His holy presence will go with us. And it is applied to you individually. God will empower your life. You are not existing and dribbling along, but you are full of power and joy and peace. You will be a very active person for Him. And why not? This world is not our home. We are just a passing through. And if we exert for the kingdom of God, He will exert for us the blessings of the kingdom. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these God's principles for church growth. which is through missions. And we thank Thee that You have involved our people, our young people especially, going out to mission trips regularly to the nearer places and far off places also. May Thou bless each one of them with good health and strength and happiness which money cannot buy. May this church be ever going unto the uttermost, as You have also taken good care of us in days gone by. So may Thou give us a good understanding today what we must do with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.